Real men don't cry. Real men don't cry, but I'm crying. So anyway, Cindy and I have been here 6 months after this church opened. And I had been, prior to that, 54 years in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada in Oshawa in our church. So I had wonderful foundation before I came here. Anyway, I love you guys and girls. I thank Pastor John for giving me the opportunity to speak this morning. We have an amazing bunch of kids, do we not? Okay, speaking on what Susan had said, what I speak is not, it's my mouth, but it's God's word. So we'll just take what God has for each of us today. Okay, I'm going to talk about the message today, breaking down, dividing walls, and building bridges. That's a big topic. And this is all to do with honor, okay? Catch the Fire Church in this season is embracing a culture of honor that is centered on communicating God's grace by transformation through honor. What is the culture of honor? It is an environment that attracts and hosts the presence of God. Culture of honor, environment that attracts and hosts the presence of God. And remember this word, I'll say it more than once. Honor celebrates who a person is and does not stumble on who a person is not. Okay? This is all about who a person is. What I'm going to do is speak. It's not this is my life, but part of it is because it is my life. What's happened in my life is a representation of what happens in all our lives. So when I talk about my parents and when I talk about my children, this can be also your parents and your children. So this is all about honor. So the first segment I'm going to have is on honoring parents. Everybody here has parents. Not everybody has children. So the first segment is going to be on honoring parents. Okay, I was at seminar at the main church last year, but the speaker asked, we had probably 40 people there. Speaker said, okay, how many in this room, can I see a raising of hands, have a good relationship with their father? 40 people, one hand. One hand. Shock and awe. One hand. That's a good relationship. That's not a great relationship. So if we looked at this here, that means two people here. I'm not asking for raising of hands, but what we're saying is very few people can honestly say they had a good relationship with their father. And we could carry that on to your mother or collectively to your parents. So when we say that, if we didn't have a positive relationship with our parents, then what type of relationship do we have with our children? So this is what we'll talk about in the second segment, about our relationship with our children. Okay, why honor our parents? Because it's scriptural. It's one of the Ten Commandments, the perfect ten. Okay, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. King James Version. Okay? So if we honor our parents, then we're laying down a foundation for a long life for ourselves. Okay? That's what the scripture says. Okay. I'm going to talk a little bit about my father. He passed away 5 years ago. He was 83, so he had a long life, relatively sickness-free for his whole life. He was a lifelong Christian, okay? He was a dedicated Christian, serving in the church all his life, church board member, Sunday school superintendent, youth leader. How was he with his three children? I have an older brother and I have a sister that unfortunately passed away 5 years ago at age 47. So how was he with his three children? Loving, but harsh. Non-supportive at times. Do it my way. Verbally abused mother in front of children. Children are to be seen and not heard. Don't forget, this is the old school. Like we're talking back, you know, so that's how it was. A lot of people here are, there's a few that are older than I am, not many, but a few. Getting less every year, but anyway. Believed in physical discipline, strapping, okay, which I think it was good for me, but anyway. But his bark was worse than his bite. You know, he was, come on, very strong, but he really was soft under the skin, eh? And so we sort of know how to work him, but you got to watch it. Did I get him too angry? But overall, it was difficult to respect him at times due to his negative behavior. We can give our parents something of a break in the way they brought up their children because of this. They didn't have the tools, educational tools, back then, okay? And so a lot of how they brought us up is how they were brought up. You know, their father beat them. They beat us, you know, and then it goes forward that we would beat our children because that's what one does. But we've learned because we had the tools, we had the counseling resources that they never had back there. So it's not about blame. We're not blaming our parents, okay? Let's keep an open mind about that. Okay, we have to have a balanced picture, okay? So I've told you some of the negativity about my father. He was a good man. Unfortunately, Cindy didn't know him until he was 70 years old, so she missed a lot of the good parts. As he got older, he was a little crusty, shall we say. But anyway, positives growing up with my father, he would be a good role model at times. Faithfulness to God, family and work. We had every year set up a Thanksgiving display on the front of the church. My father did that every year. Apples, he'd go and collect stuff, pumpkins, everything. And he'd have a display, you know, 5 feet high across the front of the church. And he would do that a lot of times without help because that was his way of giving Thanksgiving. And, you know, so that comes from God in him, you know. And it's not, he's not driven to do that. He's doing that for thanks, okay. He treat his kids special a number of times. Over 83 years, that's good. A number of times in that length of time. Once he picked us up from school, my sister, my brother, and me, took us probably to Canadian Tire at that time, bought us each a new, brand new bicycle. You know, like what, you know, like whatever caused him to do that, who knows, but it was great. We loved it. So to balance it off, we all have some good traits and good things we do and some not so good. People outside the family really liked him. He was pleasant, always smiling, made friends easily with anyone. People begging on the street, he'd say, well, I haven't got money for you, but I'll take you for a bowl of soup. And usually they declined. Because they wanted money, because they want something other than soup. But anyway, and he would give the shirt off his back to someone because that was his heart. He had a very generous heart. He truly loved Jesus. Okay, our mother, the crown jewel of the family. As my father was non-supportive at times, she was very supportive. You know, she would treat us utmost respect. She's 81 years old now, still attends the original church that I was talking about where I attended for 50 years. And she's still loved by her children and grandchildren because she is just a wonderful mother. So there was the balance. Okay, what does Jesus say about honoring our parents? Because we always want to know what he has to say. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You can read any version of the Bible you want, but I think it's going to come out the same. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, we don't have to agree with everything they do. We don't have to agree how they do everything. But we do have to be in a place of obedience. And that's where the honor comes in. It might be hard, depending on how you were brought up, to honor your parents. But God's saying, well, we have to look beyond that. We have to look to Him, because He's the Father. And He says we should honor our parents. My belief is we should honor our parents. Okay, Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in what? Everything. For this pleases the Lord. What are we here for? We're here to please the Lord. What did we sing about today? Pleasing the Lord. We're thankful. We're here as thankful people. So that is great. That's what He likes. Children, obey your parents and everything. Okay. Back again, as I mentioned, honor celebrates who a person is and does not stumble on what they are not. Well, if my mother was like this or my father was like this, then I would have been better. And, you know, there's people that are 80 years old saying that. Well, get over it. You know, let's try and make a difference in the here and now, because we can't change the past, and worrying does not add a day to our life. My father was loved by his family for who he was, not for what he was not. Okay? Could I have had a better father if I wrote it up myself? Certainly. And one thing just came to my mind, that my mother did not want my father to go grocery shopping, as my wife does not want me to go. But anyway, is that a generational curse? I don't know. But anyway, so my father would come home. What would he have? Candies, cookies, ice cream, chips. You know, say, hey, all right. My mother comes home. What she got? A bunch of canned food and rice in a box and this cereal. And, you know, so how do you get over that? Can't control my father, so don't take him anymore. Go yourself. So that's what happened. So when she came home, we would have the food we need, but we didn't have the food we want. So the thing is, so that's the thing with God also. He doesn't always give us what we want. He gives us what we need. And what we need, we might feel, is not what we want. You know, like we want this and we want that. Like I want a vacation down south every year. I want a brand new car. I want this. Material things. Sure, it's fun. It's great. But what does it really give you? You know, cars rust. You know, vacation, you get rainy weather when you go down. Like anything can happen. You go on a cruise ship, you get seasick. Like, I mean, hey. Okay. After everything I said, I stand here before you today as a result of my father. So what I said, the negativity, what happened? It worked. What my father did worked. It might not have worked the way we could have orchestrated it to work, but it worked, and that I've had proof. And I am the proof that it works. It works in my life. So anybody here, be encouraged. You know, be encouraged. Because I hear God saying, be encouraged, I love you, which is the ultimate love. You know, it's the ultimate love. How is your relationship with your father or mother? Ask yourself. Or how was it if they're passed on? That's a question that we would be good to soberly look at. From my sharing about my father, do you feel a need to break down dividing walls and build bridges with your parent or parents to honor them as God would have you, despite parental failures in your life or family? So what we're going to do here is I'm going to just say a word of prayer, and then we're going to just play one song. And I'd encourage you, when we play the song, to just close your eyes and listen and hear what the Lord has to say to you, because that message will be for this segment I just talked about, plus the coming segment. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today, Lord. For your love, Lord, that hovers over each of us, Lord. Your Holy Spirit, your anointing, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We know in this life, Lord, you said there would be trouble, Lord. But we know that you have said also that you have overcome the world, Lord. And we stand on your promises, Lord. You're the leader, Lord, and we're the followers. So we ask you, Lord, to help us honor our parents, Lord. Whatever happened in our lives and still happening relationship-wise with our parents, we ask you, Lord, to smooth out things, Lord, where there's conflict, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to have your healing onto the mothers, fathers, and children, Lord, so that we can have holy communion, Lord, and relationship would be built, Lord. There would be strength in that, Lord. As you've given us the parents that you've given us, Lord, for a purpose which only you know, Lord. And because you're all knowledgeable, Lord, all powerful, and you love us, Lord, with all your heart, we ask you, Lord, just to reveal to us those areas, Lord, where we need to build bridges, Lord, and break down those dividing walls, Lord, so that we have peace, Lord, within each of our families. Thank you, Jesus.
I made you. you and breathed in you my life, my child. I formed you, your tiny hands, your feet, your nose, your eyes. Oh, it was me, my eyes were on you, constantly surrounding you with love. You're my child, I made you to be with you. Please know I love you so much. Oh, come on home, here I am, my arms wide open. Oh, come on home, I'm waiting here for you. Come on home, let my love draw you closer. You don't have to hide anymore. Come on home, here I am, my arms wide open. Oh, come on home, I'm waiting here for you. Come on home, let my love draw you closer.
Just a song, but a message. Okay, now that we're all going to honor our parents after listening for a while, now after we finished hearing about honoring our parents, which we're all going to hopefully ask God to help us however he sees fit in our particular situations to follow, to honor our parents. Okay, the second segment, as I mentioned, parents honoring children. A lot of you hear our parents. Cindy and I have been married for, she keeps thinking it's 15 years, it'll be 18 years in September, but we have a blended family. She has two boys, Jason, 32, and Josh is be 26. My son, Edward, is 28. Okay, the three boys, Cindy and I married when her two boys were 12 and 6. My son was 10. They're wonderful friends now, and we have a very lovely family. Thank you, Jesus. Why I mention that is we're very aware it is not easy to raise children today. So we're happy that our children are now older and left the nest, and we are extremely grateful that we didn't have 19 kids and counting like the couple on TV, even though they seem to have a wonderful time. Okay, honor comes from the heart. It works out in our lives through our speech, thoughts, and actions. We're going to talk a bit about parenting with godly values. Who here likes the truth, okay? The truth is, parents are the number one teacher in their child's life. Not grandparents, not school teachers, and not the government. Ask not what your government can do for you. Ask what you can do for your government. Who said that? John F. Kennedy, 1962, I believe. So, the truth is, parents are the number one teacher in their child's life. We have choices as parents in every interaction with our children. Release blessings and wisdom over your children's lives. If you don't, who's going to do it? God didn't give me your children. God gave you your children. And that was a special gift from God. Didn't just happen. Sometimes one thinks it might be unplanned. Maybe unplanned by us. Maybe not unplanned by God. Okay, I'm just going to have a little modified do and don't list, okay? Modified because I modified it a bit because to put it in terms that I like a little better. We'll start with don'ts because I like to end on a positive note, so we'll do the do's after, okay? We'll do the don'ts first. And again, I'm using my own personal life in some cases as examples. Don't speak poorly of your child to your child's friends or their parents. This harms a child's self-image. Okay? And I'll say a little more about that in a bit. Don't threaten your child if you don't intend to follow through. Empty threats cause children not to trust their parents because they cannot believe the words that their parents speak and that parents don't follow through on their threats. My lovely wife, Cindy, has been a nanny over 15 years with four or five different families. So she knows about how dynamics work in the family. We don't have all the answers. Nobody does, other than God. But we have to learn not to threaten our children. Proverbs 19:11. Discipline your son. I suspect that means daughter also. Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Hope in discipline. Try and convince your child of that. Okay, here's a story. Everybody likes stories, okay? My brother and I, he's a year and a half older than I am. Much older, I tell him. But anyway, when we were kids, because we went to church all our lives, a lot of times dragged to church, but anyway, we went to church. So you don't chew gum in church, and you don't talk in church. Big trouble. My father used to threaten. He'd say, "You guys, I see you chewing gum. I'm coming up with the offering plate." Of course, we have to sit at the front. "I'm coming up with the offering plate, and I'm going to make you put your gum in." I think he would have been more embarrassed than us, so he never did do it. But we talk about threats. Okay, how did he threaten us? Okay, "You guys are chewing gum in church? You guys are going to get it when you get home." So all the way home, we're sitting in the back seat knowing we're going to get it. And we know what we're going to get. So what happens? We get in the driveway, both doors open in the back. Each of us go out. Where do we go? We don't go to hide. No, we don't go to mom. We go to the closet in my parents' bedroom. We take out the leather belts and put in the leave the cloth ones there. Okay? So there's no leather belts. So when we come to get our strapping, all there is cloth. He doesn't know any different. So he comes there. We come take our turns in the bedroom, you know. Okay? Out comes the belt. Big, man, the cloth belt, what's a big sound, eh? Like just. So my mother's in the kitchen, in tears, well, we're wailing and getting beaten, you know, she just can't handle it. My sister's in the next room crying. She was younger than us, probably 5 years, so she's crying for us because she feels so badly for us. So after we take our individual beatings, we're sent to our room. We have bunk beds. So one goes on the top and one on the bottom, and then guy on the bottom is kicking up the dirt. We're trying to stifle our laughter under the pillows because a cloth belt doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt, but it sure makes a big sound. So we had the last laugh. We told my father about it. I suspect when he was in, you know, when we were in our 40s already, because we figured by then that we could handle them, you know. But what did he say? One of his favorite words: "You beanheads." That's what he called us, beanheads, because of what we did. So he made good on his threats. So when he threatened you, you knew you were going to get it. You got it. And we learned from it. Okay, number three here. Don't discipline for natural childishness, okay? Children behave like children. Forget to do their chores, leave their clothes on the floor, spill things, Even some husbands do this. So, you know, even some mothers do this. So if a child is a child, okay? I realize we have very busy lives. We can't spend so much time cleaning up spills and messes and stuff. So we're trying to balance our own lives. But we have to remember, you know, what is this doing to our child, the way we're acting? Either raising our voices, you know, acting in very inappropriate behavior that you wouldn't want your neighbors or your friends or your family to see. You know, what happens in the home stays in the home type of thing. But your child will remember that. And I have a few other illustrations that I'll let you know that. Don't badmouth the other parent to the child. There's more and more opportunity now in these days, single parent families, split relationships, that type of thing. I was in myself and my wife. Because we didn't get along with our previous partners, we do have joint responsibility to bring up this child that's our child. So be supportive. And if you have criticism, keep the criticism to the ear of the parent, out of the children's thing, because what's that child going to remember? We always have to remember, what's that child going to remember? Here's an example, number 5 here. This is a child speaking to their parents, okay? Don't expect perfection. Whenever I make a bed, draw a picture, or throw a ball, my legs are short and my body is small. I can't do the things you want me to do unless you teach me how. God has a word on that, apparently. Learning is a process and takes time and help to master skills. My son was involved in the hockey league in Toronto. MTHL, it used to be called, now GTHL, Greater Toronto Hockey League. See how the parents act there. You've heard about these. It doesn't have to be hockey, soccer. It's just horrible. You know, what happens? The kids are, everybody wants, well, the parents seem to want their child to be a superstar. And it's sad. It's sad what goes on. The expectations that are put on children. And, you know, and that's what happens in a lot of it is you're not good enough. Because when you go to a tryout for a team, sorry, son, maybe next year. So I've taken my son out of many of those places. Doesn't matter what I say to him. He's not good enough. And it was told to him he's not good enough, okay? So we have to know that we can't expect perfection. There's nobody perfect except God. Okay, here's the do's. Now remember these ones. The don'ts are a little bit tough, but teach your child God's word, okay? The following scriptures speak of God's commandments and his word. Deuteronomy 11:19. Teach them to your children, the commandments and the word. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. That's what we can do. Proverbs 22:6. Teach your children to choose the right path. And when they are older, they will remain on it. We're believing that for our children. They believe in God. They aren't serving God, but they will, because they've been brought up in the love and nurture of God. Show your child love. Don't just teach them about love. Help them to feel what love is, like we feel God's love for us. John 15:12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Very simple. Love each other as I have loved you. Spend dedicated time with your child. We're connecting with her or him as your only goal. Not watching TV and, you know, and interacting, reading the paper, whatever else we as adults do. Praise your child and tell him, her, that you are proud of them. This can greatly increase their confidence and self-image. Ice cream cone helps them receive praise better. Everybody likes to see illustrations. Alan Siblock, grade 5, South Curtis Public School, South Arlington Township Area School Board, almost 50 years ago. In the fall semester, Alan's marks, English Literature 84, Composition and Grammar 82, Reading 94, Writing only 72, Spelling 100, Mathematics 99, Natural Science and Agriculture 80%, Social Studies, I don't know what happened, History 66, Average out of 100, 85%. Excellent, according to the scorecard here. What's the teacher say in her word? Miss Cookman, Alan is an excellent pupil. What does my mother say? Well done, son. I love you. What's father say? He says, how come you got a B? What did I remember to this day? Not good enough, what I talked about. That's what my father looked at this. My average for the three semesters was 83.3. It's not good enough. That's what was planted in my mind. So watch what you say. Celebrate. Okay, my son's report card in high school when I got it, what did I see? All C's except computer and auto mechanics, A. What's my son been doing for the last 5 years? Auto mechanic at GM dealership. Okay. So his mother had said to me, and she laughed. She said, greasy hands. I said, I hope you don't say that to our son, because what's that, a negative? Okay. Celebrate what the child did. He was not an art person to get in arts, to get high marks, but he was a technical person, okay? That's what we need, technical people as well as non-technical. So that's what I learned from my father and turned it around, because I know how it made me feel. I could have said to my son, what are all these C's on here? Like, what do you expect to get in life? Look at C's here. You got people getting A's, and they come to the resume, or when you go for a job, you got all A's and all you got is C's here. Well, what is that going to tell them? Like what a guy was told, not good enough. You're not going to accomplish something. You're not going to survive in this life. We don't want to give that word to our children. Okay, always listen to what your child tells you. He's telling you that he's accomplished something. And he's looking for you for acceptance. If not encouraged, our will is to withdraw, okay? And adults, too, will withdraw if we're not encouraged. Right, Cindy? Always, okay, be supportive in all areas, as we just mentioned. If your child has struggled in some areas, at home or school, talk about the struggles, but focus on the positives, okay? Don't dismiss the negatives, but focus on the positives. Stay balanced in your own life without causing your child to feel neglected. How would all of us here like to have a report card done on us every day? You know, a self-report card. Would every day, would we have an A? Or would some days we have an F? Actually, on my report card, I didn't say it, but I had an F in music, so I won't be the worship leader unless it's God's idea. Okay? Be the role model you want your kids to follow. Okay, I'm almost done here. Sit tight. Okay, I can't sing, like I said, but here's a song from my era, Cats in the Cradle, okay? Here's what it says. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me how to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed, and said, I'm going to be like him, yeah? I'm going to be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, son? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came home from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and said with a smile, what I'd rather have, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle, and the silver moon, little boy blue, and the man on the moon. When you coming home, son? I don't know when. We'll get together then. Dad, you know we'll have a good time then. I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. So father didn't have time for the son. Hey, we all get old. Look at me. I spent the whole day yesterday with my son. You know, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. He has time for me, because I always had time for him. Okay, last year's Father's Day card. Okay, from my son. This is what it says on it. A dad's someone to turn to when you need a helping hand. He's someone you can count on to advise and understand. A dad's someone to laugh with. Someone kind whose smiling face convinces you that no one else could ever take his place. So my son writes, I've grown up in your footsteps, and that is something to be proud of. You've taught me well. I act like I know it all. That's because you showed me the way. I didn't dictate this to him. And I don't expect that, okay? This is from his heart. But what do I read? What do I see when I read that? Like, come on. I mean, hey, that's what we want. We want our children to love us. After all, we're all children. Treat our children how we would like to be treated and how God treats us. This is the last thing I have to say. Dr. Neil Anderson founded Freedom of Christ Ministries in the U.S. He has more than 20 years experience as a pastor and has written several best-selling books on living free in Christ, including The Bondage Breaker and Victory Over Darkness. Okay, this is to do with children. Okay, how much we care. This is just a daily devotional, but it spoke to me. There are four concepts we deal with as parents in communicating with our children. Authority, accountability, affirmation, and acceptance. Okay? Authority, accountability, affirmations, and acceptance. We usually line them up this way. We exert our parental authority over them. We demand that they be accountable to us. When they respond to our authority and comply by being accountable, we affirm them. When they put together a positive track record of affirmative behaviors, we convey our love and acceptance. Sounds good. The reason we have such difficulty communicating with our children is that we have it all backward. Look at God's approach to us as his children. At which end of the list does our Heavenly Father start? He starts by expressing his love and acceptance. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Romans 5:8, but God commandeth his love toward us, While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our children won't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Paul instructs us to accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Accept one another, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Romans 15:7. When your child shares something personal with you, what is he looking for initially? Not a lecture, not a list of rules he must obey, but acceptance and affirmation. Tell me I'm all right, he begs. Give me some love and hope. When you know that you are unconditionally loved and accepted by God and affirmed in your identity as his child, you voluntarily submit to his authority and hold yourself accountable to him. Similarly, when your child knows that you love him and accept him, regardless of his failures, he will feel safe sharing his problems with you and responding to the direction you give. Children who know they are loved are free to be themselves, free to grow, free to be the people God wants them to be, and I'll add on to that, freedom to dance, like our song when we sing that song, freedom. And that's what God gives to us, freedom. So anyway, that's what I have to say today, okay, because I put this together. It's really been heavy on my heart. What each of you have to do is ask yourself, when you get home, or this evening, or whenever, what is God saying to me about honoring my parents and how to honor my children? Because God does have something to say to you, but are we listening? You know, my role isn't done yet. My children are still need me and Cindy. They need us, you know. And now the difference is they come to us instead of us coming to them. But that's a good thing. If your children come to you, even if they don't come around often, they come to you because they feel they're going to get something that's going to be beneficial to them. And because we have an advantage when we have God. I don't know how other families that don't have God operate. Cindy and I shake our heads. But for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. So I'm just going to say a little prayer here in closing. Father, we ask you for your word to each one of us, Lord, as an individual, Lord. We've all heard what was said this morning, Lord. What we need to hear from you, Lord, is what you have to say to each of us in our hearts, Lord, about honoring our parents and honoring our children. We want to honor you, Lord, by honoring our parents and our children. So we ask you, Lord, to give us the word, Lord, that we can say to our children, and from this day forward, Lord, help us understand that every word we say to our children, every action we take, that they are depending on that because we're the parent. You've given us that responsibility to bring up our children in the way they should go, Lord. And because as we sit here, Lord, we know our children should be with you. They should follow a godly path, Lord. So we thank you for the children today, Lord, even that we're singing today here, Lord, and for our children's ministry, Lord. We thank the parents that bring their children so they can hear of your word, Lord. And then they can go home and they can discuss what the children had heard, Lord. They can go over the material that they bring home, Lord, and that they can talk together so their child knows that they're in like heart and like agreement, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, and ask you just for your blessing over us, Lord. Your Holy Spirit would just hover over us the rest of this day, Lord. We would be filled with your anointing, Lord, and you would cover us, Lord, and we would look to you, Lord. We would look to you, Lord, as our Father, is our Father who only gives good things.